Welcome back to the podcast. Today I want to talk about a subject that's near and dear to my heart, and that's the subject of marriage. Before I get started on the topic, I want to talk about something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. He was giving a parable about the mote and the beam. And in this parable, one had a beam in his eye, but he was trying to inform someone about the mote in their eye. This is a good principle when it comes to marriage, because oftentimes we look at the faults or the imperfections of the other, but we fail to look at ourselves. In marriage, it's very easy to be a hypocrite, because when we don't hold up what we're supposed to do according to the scriptures, and we look at our spouse in a way where we're pointing out their imperfections, we become a hypocrite. First, we must examine ourselves, make sure we're doing what we are supposed to be doing according to the scriptures. Then we will in fact remove the beam out of our eye by doing so. Then we can go help our spouse remove the mote out of their eye. I found out in my marriage that it takes one to really let go of their pride and really understand that this is the things that we do and say to each other can have a drastic effect, whether good or bad, concerning our marriage. I practice privacy. That's the number one thing that I would advise anyone to do, is to practice privacy. The Bible speaks of the younger women learning to be discreet. I think that it's real important when you're in a marriage to be as discreet as possible. Only give the information that you feel will preserve the privacy of your relationship. And I'm talking in church, out of church. I mean, everybody in the church don't have your best interests. Everybody outside the church don't have your best interests. There's some that do. But I will advise you to be as private as possible. I will also advise you to make sure before you enter into marriage, we enter into marriage for one thing, to form a union with that man or that woman and to build a life for them. The Bible says that we also enter into marriage to avoid fornication. I know a lot of people don't really understand that concept, because fornication isn't a bad thing to some people. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what we think, because God is the one who's going to judge us. So we understand, according to the word, that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is the first part of this, because I don't want to be long. But today I'm going to talk about marriage from the male perspective. And before I get into this, I want to challenge men that want to be married to see if they measure up to the scriptures, and men that are married to see if they are measuring up to these scriptures currently. If you are not measuring up to these scriptures currently as a married man, you cannot go to your wife and complain about what she's not doing, because you have a responsibility to be first. And I'm going to prove this by the word. First of all, Proverbs, the 18th chapter and the 22nd verse says, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." So we first got to realize that when we find a wife, we found a good thing according to the word. So you don't treat a good thing like trash. You don't disrespect a good thing. You cherish and you nurture a good thing. And the Lord also gives us favor for honoring his word through marriage. We escape the sin of fornication, and we begin to be in this union when both of us become flesh. A woman is supposed to be your helpmeet. I know things can happen, you know, sicknesses, loss of a job, you know, certain things in life do come up. And sometimes it may require your wife to carry more of a burden than she may be accustomed to. But that should only be for a season, if at all possible. You know, your wife is there to supplement the goals of the family. She's not there to be the leader in the goals of the family. She shouldn't be ahead of you. You are supposed to be the head. You shouldn't depend on your wife as the head of the household. You should depend on your wife as the helpmeet of the household. She supplements the needs. Now, if you decide for whatever reason that you guys want to split the bills 50-50 and everyone is in agreement with that, that's fine. But as a woman, she reserves her right to be a helpmeet. So you need to go into marriage with the mindset that she is my helpmeet and I'm going to be the major provider of the household. Once again, the Bible says that according to the scriptures, Christ was the first partaker. So because Christ was the first partaker, you as a man, as a husband, must be the first partaker. Peter says, and Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So we deal with our wives according to knowledge or understanding. You have to understand your wife's position. You have to have empathy for your wife. It's not, I put my foot down and what I say goes all the time. That's not realistic. She's not a child. She's not a prisoner. And you're not a dictator. You know, we treat our wives as we would treat ourselves. We love our wives as we would love ourselves. If we don't honor our wives as the weaker vessel, the Bible says that our prayers might be hindered. So we have to understand that our Heavenly Father is looking at us, watching how we treat our wives. But when the Bible says weaker vessel, it doesn't mean less valuable or less important. What it means is God created us to be the head. And by us by He creating us to be the head, it's important for us to understand our role and not and do our best not to put our wives in the position to where she has to bear the load that we should be bearing. Because according to the scriptures, she is the weaker vessel. She is the helpmeet. She supplements. You as the man are the first partaker or the leader or the head. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 starts off by saying, husbands, love your wife just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. So we have to love our wives as Christ loved his church. Now ask yourself, and Christ gave himself for the church. So in marriage, you represent Christ and she represents the church. It's up to the man to create that dynamic. It's not up to the wife. Why? Because the Bible says when Peter had the revelation from God that Jesus was the Christ, Christ said to him, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So it's upon you being the representation of Christ in your marriage to build your wife, to build your marriage. It's upon you. It's not upon her. The church didn't build Christ. Christ built the church. The husband is responsible for the production and the movement of the body, which is your wife, which is the church. So you have to come in with that understanding that everything that I do should be for the building of my family and for my wife. So that he might present, verse 27 says, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So your wife is a representation of you, just as the church is a representation of Christ. You have to treat your wife as you would treat yourself simply because she is an extension of you. So when you present your wife, she shouldn't be looking raggedy and tore up, man, unkept. Now, if she has the ability to do it herself, that's fine. But it's ultimately your responsibility. It's always your responsibility. Just because she may have a wonderful career and have the ability to do these things for herself, does not excuse you from that responsibility. It's always your responsibility. She's always going to represent you. Okay, verse 28 says, so husbands ought to love their wives as their own body. He who loves his wife loves himself. That's self-explanatory. For no one hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. You treat your wife like you treat yourself. I know I said that before. You treat her as if she is flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, like Adam said to Eve. You never will harm yourself. No one hates their own flesh. So you don't have no business putting hands on your wife, disrespecting your wife, talking down to your wife. You don't really have the reason to really do that. So you have to, because Christ doesn't do that to us, you have to really take into consideration how you treat your wife, the things that you say to your wife, the things that you do to your wife, and the behavior that you demonstrate, whether in her presence or not. You have to take those things into consideration. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You got to move as one. That's very important. That's where the privacy aspect really comes in with me. Y'all got to think the same mind. Y'all got to have the same goals. Y'all got to have the same vision. You got to move as if no one can look upon your wife and not immediately think of you. And no one can look upon you as a husband and not immediately think of your wife. The people from the outside looking in should have that much respect, because y'all move as one. And when you move as one, you stop people from trying to get into your marriage, trying to get into your business, because y'all have one mind. And when you have one mind, that really is the key to a successful relationship when it comes to your marriage. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. As we all know by now, women thrive off feeling loved and men thrive off being respected. We like love, but we like respect more. And women like being loved more. I know that's not the same with all cases, but generally speaking, I know for a fact men really appreciate respect more than love. But we still want our wives to love us. But as a man, you can't expect that respect if you're not loving your wife according to the scriptures. Now, when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, certain characteristics of Christ, right, that you have to bring to the table when you're loving your wife. Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting at the 22nd verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So those are essentially the characteristics of Jesus Christ. And you have to have these fruits abounding in your marriage. This is the way your wife is going to feel love. You have to have love. You have to have joy. You have to provide peace. You have to be long-suffering. See, a lot of people want to throw in the towel kind of quickly when things go awry in their marriage. But if you really want to represent Christ, you have to be long-suffering. gentleness. You got to be gentle with your wife. Not hard. Not. I know it's times everybody have disagreements when they're in marriage, and it's times when you might have to come off stern. But you shouldn't be like that all the time. You shouldn't make that a way of life in your household. You should be gentle. Goodness. You should be have goodness in your heart. Don't have no ill will towards your wife. Always seek out the best and the good in everything that you guys do together. Faith. You should be the leader in your house when it comes to believing. Your wife should not be on the forefront praying more than you. You as the man, as the head, if you are the head, you never read in the Bible where the disciples prayed more than Jesus Christ. You never read that because he was the head, he was the leader. So as the leader of your household, you should be praying more than your wife. You should, your faith should be what everyone in the household follows, including your wife. She shouldn't be leading the house in faith and in prayer. You should. Meekness. What's that? Humbleness. Christ, the Bible says that Christ was lowly at heart. That means he wasn't puffed up. He wasn't humble. I mean, he wasn't puffed up in his spirit, or he wasn't arrogant or cocky. He was meek in his spirit. He also had temperance. He was disciplined. Now, that's a big word for a man. You gotta be disciplined. Not just in the areas that are easy for you to be disciplined, but a man that strives for mastery is temperate in all things. As a man, you have to strive for mastery. You have to be temperate as Christ was temperate. He was temperate in everything. He was disciplined. And that is a trait that every woman will appreciate, a disciplined man, a consistent individual who does what he says he's going to do and comes through. Even sometimes he might fail, but he's consistent in fixing and making up for his failures, even when he don't come through like he said he would. Because why? He is disciplined in everything that he does. So That's part one, but let's describe what love is, because the scripture, before I go, let's describe what love is, because the scripture is very clear that we should love our wives. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Now, when it says charity in the Bible, it's talking about love. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Charity is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeks to her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. So love is something that suffers long. It's kind. It doesn't have envy. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. It seeketh her own. See, when you love a woman, you're not going to seek nobody else. If you love her. See, this is where love and discipline or temperance comes into play. It's a good thing to love, but you got to have discipline with that love so you don't seek love from another. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. You don't rejoice in the downfall of others or even the downfall of your wife. You may have gave her some advice and she went against that advice and it went wrong. You don't rejoice in that. You know, you don't rejoice. You know, she may have done something dishonest, and it might have benefited you in a certain way because people do stuff like cheat on their taxes and you know, lie on certain applications. You shouldn't, if you love her, you shouldn't rejoice in that. That's rejoicing. That's not love. You rejoicing in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. Love believes all things. So love will make you believe in the impossible. The Bible says that love is as strong as death. So love will make you believe in some You and your wife may have a dream. That love that you have for each other make you believe it, even when all the statistics and all the odds say no. It'll make you believe. It'll make you hope for all things. It'll make you endure. It'll make you a love, true love that comes from God will make you endure, and it will never fail. But as the man, you have to be first. Just like Christ was first for us. You have to be first. You cannot expect your wife to be who she is and you not be who you're supposed to be. So when we say our wives are supposed to submit, which I'm going to get to that in the next podcast that I do, it behooves us to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do. We should not expect anybody, any woman, to do her part in scripture when we're not. If we have a beam in our eye concerning our role in the marriage, we have to seek the scriptures and seek guidance and remove that beam. Only then can we address our wives. Because if you keep the beam in your eye, if you keep the deficiencies in your marriage according to the scriptures on your behalf, you will become a hypocrite to address your wife. So this is how I try my hardest to be like this every day on a consistent basis. I am a consistent person. I am a disciplined person by the Holy Spirit. I'm a disciplined person. So I understand that some people may struggle with discipline in other aspects of their marriage. But I would admonish you to search these scriptures as a man and make sure that you are being like Christ in his totality. Then once you're being like Christ when it comes to that woman, then you can start to wash your wife with the washing of the water of the word. Then you can start to clean up the deficiencies in her behavior. But only after you have cleaned up your deficiencies. That's the only way. There's no such thing as trying to rush ahead and straighten her out, then you get straightened out later. No, you as a man must be first. I thank everyone for tuning in today. Hope it was a good podcast, a good episode, and I look forward to seeing you all again, or visiting you all again in the near future.